Chapter 10, A Colorful Symphony. As they ran, tall trees closed in around them and arched gracefully toward the sky. The late afternoon sunlight leaped lightly from leaf to leaf, slid along branches and down trunks, and dropped finally to the ground in warm, luminous patches. A soft glow filled the air with the kind of light that made everything look sharp and clear and close enough to reach out and touch. Alec raced ahead, laughing and shouting, but soon encountered serious difficulties. For while he could always see the tree behind the next one, he could never see the next one itself, and was continually crashing into it. After several minutes of wildly dashing about, they all stopped for a breath of air.
"I think we're lost,"
panted the humbug, collapsing into a large berry bush. "Nonsense," shouted Alec from the high branch on which he sat. "Do you know where we are?" asked Milo. "Certainly," he replied. "We're right here on this very spot. Besides, being lost is never a matter of not knowing where you are. It's a matter of not knowing where you aren't, and I don't care at all about where I'm not." This was much too complicated for the bug to figure out, and Milo had just begun repeating it to himself when Alec said, "If you don't believe me, ask the giant." And he pointed to a small house tucked neatly between two of the largest trees. Milo and Toc walked up to the door, whose brass nameplate read simply, "The Giant," and knocked. "Good afternoon," said the perfectly ordinary-sized man who answered the door.
"Are you the giant?"
asked Toc doubtfully. "To be sure," he replied proudly. "I'm the smallest giant in the world. What can I do for you?" "Are we lost?" said Milo. "That's a difficult question," said the giant. "Why don't you go around back and ask the midget?" And he closed the door. They walked to the rear of the house, which looked exactly like the front, and knocked at the door, whose nameplate read, "The Midget." "How are you?" inquired the man, who looked exactly like the giant.
"Are you the midget?"
asked Toc again, with a hint of uncertainty in his voice. "Unquestionably," he answered. "I'm the tallest midget in the world. May I help you?"
"Do you think we're lost?" repeated Milo.
"That's a very complicated problem," he said. "Why don't you go around to the side and ask the fat man?" And he too quickly disappeared. The side of the house looked very like the front and back, and the door flew open the very instant they knocked. "How nice of you to come by," exclaimed the man, who could have been the midget's twin brother.
"You must be the fat man," said Toc, learning not to count too much on appearance.
"The thinnest one in the world," he replied brightly. "But if you have any questions, I suggest you try the thin man on the other side of the house." Just as they suspected, the other side of the house looked the same as the front, the back, and the side, and the door was again answered by a man who looked precisely like the other three. "What a pleasant surprise," he cried happily. "I haven't had a visitor in as long as I can remember." "How long is that?" asked Milo. "I'm sure I don't know," he replied. "Now pardon me, I have to answer the door."
"But you just did," said Toc.
"Oh yes, I'd forgotten."
"Are you the fattest thin man in the world?" asked Toc.
"Do you know one that's fatter?" he asked impatiently.
"I think you're all the same man," said Milo emphatically.
"Shh," he cautioned, putting his finger up to his lips and drawing Milo closer. "Do you want to ruin everything? You see, to tall men, I'm a midget, and to short men, I'm a giant, and to the skinny ones, I'm a fat man, and to the fat ones, I'm a thin man. That way, I can hold four jobs at once. As you can see, though, I'm neither tall nor short nor fat nor thin. In fact, I'm quite ordinary. But there are so many ordinary men that no one asks their opinion about anything. Now, what is your question?"
"Are we lost?" asked Milo once again.
"Hmm," said the man, scratching his head. "I haven't had such a difficult question in as long as I can remember. Would you mind repeating it? It slipped my mind." Milo asked the question again.
"My, my," the man mumbled. "I know one thing for certain. It's much harder to tell whether you are lost than whether you were lost, for on many occasions, where you're going is exactly where you are. On the other hand, you often find that where you've been is not at all where you should have gone, and since it's much more difficult to find your way back from someplace you've never left, I suggest you go there immediately and then decide. If you have any more questions, please ask the giant." And he slammed his door and pulled down the shade. "I hope you're satisfied," said Alec, when they returned from the house, and he bounced to his feet, bent down to awaken the snoring humbug, and started off, more slowly this time, in the direction of a large clearing. "Do many people live here in the forest?" asked Milo, as they trotted along together.
"Oh, yes.
They live in a wonderful city called Reality, he announced, smashing into one of the smaller trees and sending a cascade of nuts and leaves to the ground. It's right this way.